Welcome to Building Fortunes Radio. Make sure you check us out at buildingfortunesradio.com. Along with our marketing partners, we're here to help our PM Marketing Network Lead customers build their businesses and make the world a better place. At Building Fortunes, we know how much your business means to you and the people important to you. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world. Now on to our show with your host, Peter Mingles.
Hello, everyone. Peter Mingles here. You are listening to us live on Building Fortunes Radio. It is, what is today, August 11th, if you're keeping score, 2018, and it's 8:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 7:30 p.m. Central Time. We do this radio show live every Saturday with Scott Johnson. It gives me an opportunity to look forward to something on a Saturday evening to be able to research during the course of the week and kind of say, I think we could bring that up on Saturday night because it's really great information relative to what's going on in this industry. A little bit of background for our newest listeners. Scott and I met, it's going to be maybe 3 years ago, as a result of a radio show that we did with an MLM critic. His name is Roger Van Vlissingen. Roger's a really smart guy. There's an organization called SeekingAlpha.org or a website, SeekingAlpha.org. And I think it's I forget if it's seeking.org or .com. Anyway, Seeking Alpha. And I was going there because I was getting some news bulletins associated with different things. And I said, you know, this guy's a really smart guy. And he's anti-MLM, but he's logically anti-MLM, meaning some of his concerns are the same concerns that anybody should have in MLM if they're interested in doing it the right way. And Roger's basic conclusion after the years that he was pursuing and looking and researching MLM is, although theoretically on paper it might be able to be done right, the people who just do it, it just can't be done right. There's just no way. So I had him on our radio show. We brought a little bit of backup with him, E. Robert Smith, nice gentleman as well, came to the same conclusion. We had a nice radio show at the time. Vima had been shut down by FTC, and I got a phone call from Scott Johnson. Scott went through a little thing with me, and he says, you know, Peter, there's a lot of things that people are missing in this whole MLM world, and that's the idea of the tool scam. So I kind of knew what he was talking about because I was associated with Amway before, and I also came to my own conclusion that you're going to make money in the business as well as on the business. So and because I was somewhat educated about how these things work as well by, believe it or not, somebody who's in jail right now, his name is Kevin Trudeau, when he was doing something with Nutrition for Life and Distributor Services and Nightingale Conant, I said, you know, there's no problem with making money in the business and on the business. The problem is the deception. If you're leading people to believe that they're going to be able to make money the same way you've made your money, and you're not telling them the whole story, that's deceptive and probably even fraudulent or worse, depending on the scenario. So I had hired myself and fired myself three times with Amway because of their tool scam. So when Scott Johnson said, you know, the tool scam, and then when I don't remember if he told me at that time or gave me his website, stoptheamwaytoolscam.wordpress.com, I knew that we were on the same page because I looked at how in the world does Amway allow this stuff to happen, because this is blatantly a tool scam and there's losers in the equation. It's just wrong. So even if they'll let it happen, I just don't want to make my money that way. So that's why I hired and fired myself three times as I was going through and pursuing the truth. So we started our radio show talking a little bit about the tool scam. And I said, Scott, I don't know how long we'll be able to talk about tools because it's the same old thing, but maybe we could talk about some of the things that are going on in the industry. And that has that has given us, if we call this job security, that has given us job security because every single week there's always something to shake your head left to right and be able to talk about this industry. And I really thoroughly enjoy Scott Johnson and his ability to be a little bit on the, you know, the fun side and the snarky side and the research side and the, you know, everything side, fair side, balance side, all that sort of stuff, because our vision and I think our philosophies line up almost all the time. And some of the stuff that I don't know, he might, and same thing, complement these each way. So for those people listening in, you get a nice blend of two guys sitting here on a Saturday night talking about stuff that goes on in the industry that you probably need to know about, that many times if you're in the little bubble that you call your company, people just don't talk about because it might be perceived as negative. So, Scott Johnson, thanks for being here.
Peter, thanks for having me again. I really appreciate it. I have as much of a good time as you do, I hope. I really enjoy this, and we do try to make it a little entertaining, have some fun, but it is a very serious subject because I and many others, and we're talking millions and tens of millions of others, have been scammed by MLMs, and we're here to educate people, to learn what to look for, the questions to ask, and those kinds of things. So I'll just start it off like we normally do here. There's, in my mind, two main problems with MLMs, and you touched on the first one very well, and that's the what I call the tool scam, the Amway tool scam, and other MLMs have them too. I wouldn't say all of them do, but a lot of them do. And the tools are things like meetings and books and audio, visual recordings. You know, dinosaurs like us had cassette tapes. Now they're up to CDs and even MP3 and 4 downloads. Voicemail, website access, all these things that you pay to your upline. This is not going to Amway corporate now. This is going to your upline, although I think some MLMs do run their tools out of the corporate office. But in Amway, it's really the upper-level distributors in whatever organization you're in. And so what happens is they basically have a free marketing environment. They don't spend any money on marketing. They just have people come to meetings, and then they promote their tools for no cost. And they have, of course, a captured audience because they're all sitting there listening to them. And, of course, they're saying things like, I don't know anybody that got to platinum and above unless they, you know, just ate up the tools, you know, which is kind of a nice way of saying, if you don't buy the tools, I'm not going to help you. That really is the bottom line. And so to your point, these people are making a lot of money from the tools, and we're talking twice as much as compared to Amway, 5, even 10 times and more, depending on what level they're at. And they don't mention this. It's sometimes barely mentioned, but it's nowhere near full disclosure. It's, you know, if you're talking 0 is no disclosure and 100 is full disclosure, we're talking like 1 or 2. That's where they are on that scale. And so people get in not realizing that most of their upline's lifestyle that they're constantly talking about. And I don't have a problem with money, by the way. If you make it legally and ethically, all the power to you. However, if you lie about where your money comes from, and in this case, it's not so much a lie that is spoken. It's one that's omitted. It's a lie of omission. So they pretend their lifestyle came from Amway and all the products and all the bonuses and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, when in fact, most of it actually came from the ticket that person bought to have the privilege of sitting in front of this person saying, you got to eat up all the tools. You got to buy them all. You got to attend every event. You got to read 15 minutes a day. You got to listen to at least one audio recording a day. You know, you got to show the plans X times a month, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's what you're paying for, is to be told to buy even more. So it's just this constantly ongoing circle of lies, really. It's a lie of omission, but it's still a lie. So that's number one, is the tool scam. They're just not honest about it. They're not telling you that their entire lifestyle, really, is based on the tools. The other thing is, and this applies to most MLMs that I found. In fact, I can't think of anything except Nexium that we've talked about over the past couple of months that really has a lot of retail sales. And this is where you're selling stuff to non-distributors. You know, this is the free market in action. This is not the captured distributors, which are being told constantly, you need to be loyal to your products. You need to buy, you know, everything for your household that you can. That's how you become successful. And in the future, if you work hard enough and long enough, you'll be filthy rich. That's the whole message in a nut, you know, just in a really short, clear way of saying it. And so a customer that's not a distributor does not have that incentive to buy the product. They have the same incentive as if they go to any store that you shop at to buy a product. You know, they need the product, the price looks good, and they buy it, or they don't because the price and the quality didn't match up with what they were looking for. So when people look at MLM products from a customer perspective, typically they go, gee, that's expensive. I'm just going to go to the store and I'm not going to pay that much money because they don't have that extra incentive hanging over them, so to speak, of you work hard enough and long enough, I'll make you filthy rich. They just want to figure out if they want to buy the product or not, and that's it. So those are the two problems, the tool scams and the lack of retail sales. And I'll hand it back to you, and we can go in whatever direction you want to go in. You mentioned Alex Jones before we got on the air. If you want to start with that, go right ahead.
Sure. I will start off with a little bit of nostalgia with Alex Jones that many people, I'm sure, listening in just don't know. So the first subject, of course, is Alex Jones, who owns InfoWars and InfoWars.com, was banned in a massive attack, one fell swoop from Apple, Facebook, Google, YouTube, Spotify. Heck, they even had his autoresponder, MailChimp, shut him down. They shut down his LinkedIn account, even though he wasn't really using it. He's been shut off by everybody, at least as of this recording that I know of, except for Twitter. And whether you know a lot about Alex Jones or not doesn't matter, but there's several points about Alex Jones I just want to bring up. Number one, my personal opinion, is he's an entertainer. So I've watched Alex Jones ever since Tom Chenault, who runs a radio show. Tom Chenault would say he's the longest-running radio show for home-based businesses. And I don't know if that's true or not, but let's say that he's self-proclaimed, and he is. I know he's been doing it a really long time. Well, when Tom Chenault and I were board members at the Distributor Rights Association, he said something about Alex Jones. You know who Alex Jones is? And I did not. And he said, well, we sponsored him in, and he's making a ton of money with Youngevity, which is Tom Chenault's company. So a lot of people don't know what I'm saying next. Alex Jones was giving a lot of financial backing from the commissions that he earned from the downline that he built or was given or whatever position he might have had with Youngevity. And if you go old Alex Jones stuff, you can't find it anymore because it's all been erased, but if you can find old Alex Jones stuff, you'll see that he and Doc Wallach had a lot of conversations together. So Alex Jones, I don't want to say he was educated about health and nutrition by an MLM company, but I know that he was aided in an MLM company as far as building his downline and building his business and his little empire over there that he took to huge levels. So a lot of people don't know that. They might know who Alex Jones is, but they didn't know that Alex Jones started off with a lot of financial backing. Not that Youngevity backed him. The commissions that he earned from the downline that he built and the products that he sold as a result of all the things that he did helped fund InfoWars. So InfoWars grew into this huge thing. Alex Jones grew from somebody who was a little bit crazy to very theatrical and very dynamic. And if you looked at him, you could definitely see he was an entertainer, said outlandish things. Anybody that didn't realize that is probably somebody. Now, this is going to be a slam. So if you don't mind, I'm going to slam some people that say stupid things. Sometimes even, by the way, smart people say stupid things when they talk about things that they don't know about. But to say that you disagree with Alex Jones based on him saying some things in a theatrical way would be the same guy that doesn't realize that WWF, if you remember, the Worldwide Federation of Wrestling, was fake wrestling. Like, if you remember when fake wrestling came out, you know, with the ring and the noise that would be made when they hit their knee, you know, hit themselves and the bouncing back and forth and all that sort of stuff, the fake punches. Well, if you believe that Alex Jones was always going to be 100% straight up and down, then you probably don't understand fake wrestling either. So he was very theatrical, doing whatever he could to be able to boost his ratings as well, and got nailed. And I think probably the biggest reason is the timing is right. He's being sued by the people from the Parkland shooting. No, I'm sorry. It was the Sandy Hook shooting, for him saying that he thought it was like a false flag and a staged event and crisis actors and all that sort of stuff. So he put himself in the position that he's in. But the challenge is that they abolished him. They demolished him. They erased his entity over on social media. And that in itself isn't the only one. There's been a whole bunch of other ones as well. But I just wanted to throw out that little bit of trivia. They start with Alex Jones. They first started with Mike Adams. If you have been listening in, they got Mike Adams first, the Health Ranger. And they've also done other things as well, like, for instance, in North Carolina, going after a very well-known and I think should be well-respected attorney called Alan Phillips. And Alan Phillips was the vaccine rights attorney who would go for personal exemptions and was fighting mandatory vaccines or mandatory agenda for the vaccines. And they're going after his bar license. So we are seeing an attack on many fronts relative to social media. So I just wanted to throw that out there. Scott, I'll let you comment as well. But a lot of people, I'm sure, did not know that Alex Jones got a lot of his beginnings from network marketing. And all of the nutritional products that he eventually went out there and did on his own, I'm sure had a lot of the knowledge and background from the stuff that he learned from Doc Wallach and being associated with network marketing as the reason why he developed the products that he did. So back to you.
Yeah, Peter, that is very interesting. I had no idea that he got his start with Youngevity or any MLM for that matter. Is he still in, do you know, or is there any way of knowing that?
I think he still has a position because I'm sure he's still getting funded from it. He just doesn't talk about it or build it anymore.
Okay.
It was several years ago that he stopped talking about it and kind of went out there and did his own products. And I don't know why he did his own products, but he probably figured that he could make more money if he did his own products than have to get worried about potentially being fired by Youngevity for whatever reason, the same way that YouTube kind of just fired him, not that he was employed by YouTube, but the idea that he probably wants a little bit more control. So he actually became his own empire with the private label products that he was selling. So he kind of moved away from Youngevity, but I'm probably pretty sure he either kept a check or some of the things that people don't know about Alex, he went through a vicious divorce. And through the vicious divorce, who knows if the Youngevity check was part of the vicious divorce and he had to do something else. So there's a lot of things that we just don't know. But Alex Jones has been through he's got a dynamic life and very challenging along many fronts. He's somebody who's – the road's moving very fast under Alex Jones. So back to you.
Yeah, he's definitely out there. In my personal opinion of him is I think he's a nut. I think he's got really crazy ideas. I think, and I don't watch him, so I don't know this for a fact, but I think probably every once in a while he's correct with some of his wild ideas, but I think most of the time he's not. And I know he's been also sued for his position on the Sandy Hook shooting as well. So he's got a lot of issues there. Now, my personal opinion is, even though I don't agree with him, and I don't listen to him, I think he has every right in America, First Amendment, freedom of speech, to say what he wants to say, as long as he's not harming others. You know, if he's threatening somebody physically or in other ways, then yeah, that's something that, you know, should be curtailed, because the old saying of you can't shout fire in a movie theater is kind of where the edge of free speech is. You can't say anything at any time. There's no right to do that, but you are free to speak your mind and your opinion. And any time that that's curtailed, even by a public company or even a private company, a non-government entity, which, by the way, those are not under the First Amendment. It's only the government that cannot curtail your freedom of speech. So all of those Facebooks and all the other social media that banned him have every right to do so. That's not a freedom of speech issue. However, in the spirit of freedom of speech, I think they should not have banned him. They should have just let him do what he's going to do. And as long as he's not threatening somebody, let people make up their own minds. Because the problem isn't so much him. The problem is, where does it stop? How far do these companies go? I mean, we've all heard the news lately. Well, if you listen to conservative news, you hear it. You won't hear it probably on the liberal news outlets. But a lot of these same social media companies have been either banning totally, or there's ways of, I think they call it shadow banning, and there's different terms for it, where you can still be posting, for example, on Twitter. Let's just use Twitter as an example. But Twitter doesn't make your tweets available to anybody else other than who you're tweeting to. So if someone else does a search for your tweets, they won't find it. And so it looks like you're on social media, but you're much, much more limited. So there's all kinds of tricks out there that these social media companies are doing. And because they are so huge and so influential, and each one of them is their own little monopoly, really, you know, because Twitter is quite different than Facebook, is quite different than Instagram, and so on and so forth. They really have their own monopoly. And so some things that the government is looking at doing is saying, hey, you guys are now a monopoly and you're restricting free speech. We think there's a case here to split you up. You know, if you don't want to allow everyone to speak freely, then, you know, we have an opportunity, according to some laws that were passed, I think, in the early 1900s, against monopolies. And that's another alternative that's being kicked around by the government to get more control of this, because we all know that most of these social media companies are based in California, most of them in the San Francisco area, which is very liberal. In fact, the founder of Facebook, when he was giving testimony 2 or 3 months ago in front of Congress, was very honest. He said, look, you know, San Francisco is a very liberal place, and there's no doubt in my mind that, you know, the posts that are being curtailed are conservative people, not liberal people. And he was very upfront about that. So this can really get out of control, because the old style media that we used to have, you know, the three big networks, no longer exist. There's so many channels out there, but there are some of these social media channels that are so dominant that if they start making these decisions, then where do they stop? And that's really, from my opinion, the problem with this, because you can choose what you go and look at and listen to and read and so forth. There's no requirement that you have to listen to Alex Jones or anybody else. So there's really no harm being done, again, unless he's threatening somebody. But then there's laws that cover that too. So anyway, that's my thoughts. I am totally against him being banned. I'm totally against other people being either banned or curtailed as they are, because it just really is one step towards, we don't know where it's going to end. So I'll give it back to you.
Yeah, well, the reason why I blended in Alan Phillips, the attorney who is the vaccine rights attorney, he's literally one of the only personal exemption attorneys about vaccines in the United States. Certainly in the state of North Carolina, and they're shutting him down. They're trying to get and the North Carolina bar is doing things that he would say is illegal to get his law license taken away. And once that happens, of course, then I'm sure a lot of the YouTube stuff that he has, or some of the blog talk radio stuff that he has, a lot of that stuff will disappear. And in essence, then Alan Phillips will disappear from most of the public's ability to see Alan Phillips, just like Mike Adams has disappeared. And that means there's voices of alternative choices that are now being gone. And that's the problem that I see with Alex Jones and a lot of other people that you don't hear about. So there's a massive amount of this censorship going on. And it, although it may not have any direct effect on MLM right now, just kind of sit tight, because these things will. There we go. I'm going to let that phone ring. But these things do have issues related to stuff, and who knows when stuff related to MLM are going to be in there as well, or entrepreneurial speech, or doing something. I'm not sure, but it's alarming. That these things have happened. And I have watched Alex Jones a lot. So I've kind of paid attention to the things. And you can usually tell when he's just being dopey and talk about lizard people and stuff like that, or all the crazy stuff. But he has brought out to a lot of people's attention a lot of legitimate stuff. So if you want a balanced approach, if you like Joe Rogan recently did an interview with Alex Jones, and then Joe Rogan recently did an interview about Alex Jones being banned. So if you like Joe Rogan, you know, if you've never seen Joe Rogan before, you know, they use colorful language, so watch out. But the reality is it's entertaining, but it's also just good stuff. And Joe Rogan's got a pretty good blend, I think, balance of what he talks about and some of the things that he does as well, at least in my opinion. Okay, so enough of that stuff. Let's move on to things relative to the home-based business of the MLM arena. So, well, let's, since we're on wacky people, just throw in your take on what's going on with Dave Wood over at World Ventures, and then we'll move on to more sane things. So back to you.
Yeah, Dave Wood, and we often go to this website because it has so many different stories, and we only skim the top of these stories. There's a lot of stories we never mention on this show because there's just so many of them and so many different companies that are being written about. But the website is called BehindMLM.com. So that's all one word, BehindMLM.com. And there's a story here from August 9th, 2018, and the title is David Wood Found in Contempt in World Ventures Texas Case. So David was this guy that was in World Ventures. He wasn't getting paid, and we now have several stories from BehindMLM.com where other people have also not been getting paid. So it looks like they're on their last gasp, as far as I can see. But he complained about this very openly, and he put a hex on the company, and he encouraged, I think he said, radical Muslim and teenagers to throw eggs and rocks or something at the office, and just basically destroy the whole company, you know, both physically and verbally. And so naturally World Ventures sued him, and he didn't show up to court, of course. And so he was found in contempt for not showing up in court for this hearing. And that's kind of where we are with that. But I mean, David Wood has a long history in other MLMs and doing some crazy videos. My personal favorite is the one he did, I guess, 2 or 3 years ago, where he had a bloody. This is not available online anymore either. If you're not listening to this show and, you know, acting on it, some of this stuff that's excellent just kind of goes away. But he was ranting, and he was on some kind of drugs, he later admitted. But he had a bloody forehead, and he was rubbing a slice of lime on it, the best I could tell, just to make it burn a little bit more, I guess. But he's out there. I mean, the guy's way out there. He's calls himself King David, and he's got all these biblical references. And, you know, I'm not even sure if he can get his mind off of drugs. I think he's had so many over his lifetime that I don't even know if he can get sober. But that's where that kind of stands right now. I'll let you add to it, Peter. Go right ahead.
Yeah, and for those people that aren't familiar with David Wood, just a little bit of, you know, blowback into nostalgia. He owned a company with David Sharp called Empower Network, which was a fast-growing multi-million-dollar company. So a lot of people were joining Empower Network. They started off as a WordPress blog, and then moved on to a whole bunch of other things as well. But just the kookiness, and this isn't just a rogue distributor. This was a previous company owner who went kind of nuts, and he probably, depending on how he plays this, he probably will be the only president of the United States, according to him, of course, because in 2020 he will be president of the United States. He'll probably be the only president of the United States who has to try to figure out how to do it with collect calls from behind bars. So I don't know. It's kooky. He's kooky. If you think Alex Jones is kooky, then you haven't met Dave Wood yet. So Dave Wood's kooky. But what it really does is show you that you cannot say anything you want to say without penalty, because he will wind up behind bars. He is going to screw up enough with what he said already about the whole people at World Ventures. He's made physical threats, mental threats, a whole bunch of other threats against them, and this man will wind up behind bars. He's kind of disappeared, I believe, hence the contempt of court. But I don't know what's going to happen with him ultimately. So World Ventures got a whole bunch of things to worry about, including Dave Woods. And they have the money for those lawyers. Maybe they should send some of that money to cover some of those commissions that we read about that are probably lost. But we don't know the whole story, so that may be an unfair statement. But anyway, so there's kookiness in this world. So back to you, Scott.
Yeah, that's a good point, Peter. I mean, it's kind of like a race to the bottom. Is David Wood going to be able to outlast the company World Ventures just falling apart and just not having any money to continue the lawsuit? It's kind of a interesting thing to think about as far as which one is going to happen first. It's so crazy. In fact, I'm going to read you the last line of the story just so people get another impression of this guy. It says, Wood's latest August 8th headline reads, "Here's how to consecrate your ass," in capital letters, "etc., over to Jesus and get laid every day like a superhero," and then in parentheses, "whether you work or not." So I haven't even gone over there to see that story or the video, whatever's over there, but that's typical David Wood. If you want to listen to typical what comes out of his mouth, that headline pretty much says it all, I guess.
Yeah, he's definitely working on that insanity plea. I think Craig Grant could take some lessons, and Trayvon James could take some lessons from David Wood on how to do YouTube videos to try to get some insanity plea, try to keep yourself out of jail. And for those people that are unfamiliar with Craig Grant and Trayvon James, they're some of the promoters behind BitConnect, and that's going to come out in the news sometime in the next couple of months maybe as well, and we'll see where that goes too. So, and I think there was a gentleman who was stopped coming back into the country in reference to BitConnect. So he was questioned, and I think they even took some of his electronic devices and stole some of his cash when he came in. And I don't remember the gentleman's name. I never really knew who he was before, but this was an article as well on Behind MLM. So if you are somebody who is a Ponzi, and by the way, it makes no sense that I even say this because you're not listening, but if you're a Ponzi promoter or somebody who's a promoter of these things, don't think you could be flying in and out of the United States without being stopped by the FBI or detained, if you will, because the watch list is big enough right now, they're going to find you. So back to you, Scott.
Yeah, that story you're talking about there, Peter, is also on Behind MLM. And if you go to the August 6th, there's a headline there that says, "BitConnect investor, quote unquote, detained, threatened, and interrogated by the FBI." So this is this guy's story, apparently, on what happened to him when he was trying to come in the country and he was questioned. So we'll see what happens there. I think he did leave the country, and he may not want to come back for a while. So
I don't think he's left. I don't think he's left yet based on that order.
Yeah. If he does leave, he might be invited back. So we'll see what happens with all that.
Right.
You better choose which country he goes to very carefully. Make sure there's no extradition treaty, because they'll come after him if they want to, you know. And they've already questioned him, so obviously they're interested in him and probably have more information now than they did. So the next thing that I thought was interesting here, Peter, was there's another August 9th, 2018 story on a company we've been talking about a little bit over the past few weeks called Mobe, M-O-B-E. And the headline is Moog processor Qualpay ordered to return $6.3 million in stolen funds. So this is one of those, you know, intermediary pay platforms that a lot of MLMs use. And the government said, hey, you got $6.3 million, cough it up, because we want to take that and give it back to the net losers within this MLM, which has been folded up, by the way. They're just now trying to find as much money as they can to give it back to some of the people that lost money with this little scam. And the people that were running it are cooperating and even being allowed to use some of their money, which is typically not allowed, to hire lawyers to go find some of this money. That's kind of an unusual situation. Generally, they're frozen out of any funds that they had that came from the MLM if it was a scam. So it's a little bit unusual. But the processor claimed that if they returned the funds, they would face, and I'll quote here, imminent insolvency. So they don't want to give it up, but they're being ordered to, and I think it's pretty obvious at some point they will. It's just a matter of going through all of the right court proceedings and, you know, having the judge order it be turned over. But I wanted to bring that one up because we had talked about this company before, and it looks like they're very actively going after as much of the money as they can find. I'll give it back to you.
Yeah, this is a good example of a bad vendor, in my humble opinion, who is getting nailed and snagged by doing business with people they probably shouldn't have. And there's a little bit of history behind this as well. But I remember one time I was working with a company who was shut down. And just previously to being shut down, they had just found a vendor to make their business cards. So that business card vendor, you know, made whatever, I don't remember the number, you know, 500 business cards for $32. And when this one person said, you can get your business cards over at this vendor for $32, that vendor literally had like $85,000 worth of business almost overnight. And then the government shut them down, not the vendor, but the government shut the company down. And then this poor vendor who shipped, made and shipped all of those business cards had a ton of chargebacks, meaning the individuals charged back their credit card, the 32 or 35 or whatever dollars it was, causing this guy or this business card vendor huge challenges. May have even put them out of business, because every time you're charged with a chargeback, you're also charged with like a $35 fee. So it was not only just the cost of the business cards, it was the refund to the customer, plus the cost of the business cards, plus the $35 fee. You could see how somebody could really be hurt when they were providing a legitimate service, making business cards, and then have something like this happen when a company gets shut down. That is not the case, in my humble opinion, with this Qualcomm or whatever company. That company basically, in their records, according to the documents that I've read, when Moog was applying for their credit cards, they said that they would do something like $200,000 in business for the year, and that's how they got approved. And then they wound up doing millions and millions and millions of dollars, well above over the qualifications that they were supposed to be qualified for. So these guys were fishing in dirty water to begin with. Now all of a sudden, same thing. Now let's go for this. So now Moog's shut down, but you're not talking about business cards. You're talking about a $5,000 charge on your card. Do you think people are charging those back? Absolutely. Absolutely. So now these guys are saying, we can't give you back the money that we were holding in reserve, because if we do, we're going to be insolvent, which is probably true. But the business card owner that I referenced a little bit earlier is an innocent victim. These guys, I think, got nailed or snagged for being in bed with a business they shouldn't have been in bed with, and they just kind of let them ride, and they thought they were being smart by having such a huge reserve, and I think even them are getting hit. So, Scott, back to you.
Yeah, those are all good points, Peter. You know, there's an old saying that says sometimes it's not good to grow your business too fast, and often they're referring to things like, you know, back-end infrastructure and, you know, customer support and you know, just the whole structure of the corporation. If you grow too fast, you just can't manage it, and then you lose control of it. But in this case, like the business cards, they had all their eggs in one basket, right? I mean, they had such massive growth, but it was all from one source. And if something happened to that one source, which it did, then they would be in trouble. So this is, you know, not just MLMs, but any kind of business. You really have to be careful about massive growth, particularly if it's coming from just one direction, because, well, you just told the story of what can happen. So really interesting. Now, there's another story on August 8th, 2018, just a couple down from the one we just talked about with Moeb. And this is also a company we've been talking about lately. It's called Digital Altitude, which was essentially a spinoff of Moeb. Some of the people thought that, gee, we can do the same thing, only better, and make more money at it. The problem is Moeb noticed that they were copying them too close and sued them for trademark infringement, you know, copying their work without permission. And so that's when the FTC kind of popped up and said, not only are we going to go after Digital Altitude, but because Moeb is accusing them of copying what they originally produced, we're going to go after them too. So the FTC got a two-for-one on this deal. Now, the headline of this story is Digital Altitude Discovery. And discovery is a legal term. It's where generally it's both sides are allowed to look at the other guy's records and even talk to the other guy's people. That's what discovery means. Digital Altitude Discovery contains, quote-unquote, glaring omissions and inadequacies. So unlike Moeb, the owners of Digital Altitude have not been cooperative. They've asked for and been turned down to use some of their money to pay their lawyers, and they're in the real hurts. Their lawyers quit. I think we talked about that last week. So I don't know if they've hired new ones yet, or they're just sort of, you know, treading water at this point. But they're getting just deeper and deeper in trouble with this newer story as far as what's going on with them, and apparently just completely not cooperating with the FTC, which is only going to hurt them even worse, and they're already in bad shape. So I'll let you make any additional comments.
Nope, that's a good point. So Moeb looks like they're trying to figure their way out of it. When I say out of it, you know, it's done, it's toast. I have some people that I know that were with Moeb, and they're telling me that they have some attorneys, and not Moeb, but the distributors have some attorneys, and they're filing a petition, and they're going to try to get it back and up and running. And I'm like, you know, that's never going to happen. That's never going to happen. There's no way. If the company owner is already settling with the FTC, that is not going to happen. It's not like they're going to, you know, come out with a new version of it. It's done. It's over. And I guess Matt Lloyd, through the counsel of his attorneys, has figured out that, you know, before you guys go after me as far as the, you know, Department of Justice, if they can, because they're overseas, they're just going to go after it. Now, I don't think Michael Force and I think it's Mary D. Don't have the same options or level of sophistication, because they're just playing this the wrong way. They are playing this the wrong way. Their attorneys left them. They're filing incomplete documentation in the last minute, and this is not going to end very well. So for them, this is just sloppy, and who knows where it's going to go, but it's not going to end well at all. It's not going to end well with Moeb. It's not going to end at all well with Digital Altitude. And for those distributors that are going to be expecting some levels of refund. But I think, switching subjects slightly, there was even an article about Charles Scoville and Traffic Monsoon, and him seeing the idea, using the wrestling example, that it's time to tap out and I think he might be settling with the SEC or the FTC or whoever the receiver is as well. So, Scott, I don't know if you want to comment on that one as well.
Yeah. I think we talked about Charles Scoville last week, that he is in discussions now with the SEC trying to wiggle his way or at least minimize his time in prison is what I think is going to result in. I don't think the SEC can send him to prison, but certainly all of the things that they dig up, if they find some criminal activity, then the FBI and DOJ could certainly go after him and make life much more miserable. But yeah, he was shut down, what, 2 or 3 years ago now? It's been a while, I think, that he was shut down.
At least 2 or 3.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Okay, moving on. What else is new?
Well, I came across a couple stories just in my wandering through the internet. You know, the internet is infinite, really. There's no way we can know even close to anything on even a single topic. It's just amazing. But there's this website. We may have talked about this guy a little bit in the past. The website is Salty Droid, just like it sounds. SaltyDroid.info is his website. And he has a story there from August 8th. And apparently this company got shut down recently. This woman, Jesse Connors Tiva, it's T-I-E-V-A. I'm not sure how she pronounces her name. But she's been with, like, Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. She's been, I think, with Trump University. She's been with all kinds of shady operations, and now it was her turn to be, her and her husband, I guess, to be shut down, and that's what's happened now. So you can probably go to the FTC website also and find this story, because there's an article on the FTC website announcing that this operation has been shut down, and you know they're going to go from there, I guess. But they had an operation called Seller's Playbook, and it was a way that you could get filthy rich by, you know, being the only person on the planet that knows how to make millions of dollars on Amazon. and they were selling these things for, you know, it was a typical thing. You come to a free meeting maybe, and then you get promoted a $100 or $200 package, and then you go to that, then you get promoted a $4,000 to $5,000 package. You know, with all the secrets lurking behind the next, seminar you go to, and just, you know, drawing people in like that. And so now they're shut down, and we'll see what happens to them. But they have a interesting history, but this appears to be the first time they actually, you know, were directly nailed versus being, you know, involved but not being the target of what was going on here with the FTC. So I just thought that was an interesting story. I hadn't seen it in too many other places. I think I just tripped across it on Twitter and started looking at it. But just another one of these things, you know, they sort of whet your appetite with either a free or very low-cost seminar, and then they keep upping the dollars for more information. And it's very typical of what goes on with some of these scams, you know. Just like the, the Trump University, that was a big scam that Trump ended up paying. He settled for $25 million just to get it behind him, you know, so it wasn't an active discussion point going forward. But a lot of people lost a lot of money. I don't think the $25 million came anywhere near covering the losses, but, you know, that's what attorneys do, is they try to close things out and, of course, take their cut. And then move on to the next opportunity. So don't get me started on attorneys. I'll give it back to you, Peter.
Yeah, yeah, please. There's good attorneys out there, I'm sure. They're hard to find, it seems like, but there's yikes. Okay, so I don't think there's anything else that I'm really able to, or, you know, that pops up on our screen that says I think we should go over this one. I think you might have had some other articles as well if you want to cover those. Otherwise, we can call it a radio show. Oh, and by the way, if you hit refresh on your Behind MLM it always seems like while we're doing this radio show, something else pops up. So if you have any other articles or if you want to just kind of comment on anything else, you certainly can.
Okay. Yeah, just real quick, there was another story on, again, saltydroid.info. Apparently, there's going to be a hearing on August 22nd. This is a lawsuit. I've been giving this guy a hard time for years. His name is Jason Jones. He's an attorney. But his website, Salty Droid, was more of a snarky, poking fun and complaining about MLMs, but not really doing much serious. Well, about a year ago, he actually decided to get serious, and there's a class action lawsuit against Herbalife, and there's going to be a hearing on the 22nd of this month to figure out pretty much the basic questions in front of the two parties is things like, you know, is this the right court to be in? Should we really be in arbitration? Those kinds of things. It's not really going to be the actual court case. It's really more of a qualification type thing. So we'll see what happens then, because this is potentially, you know, if the judge decides to leave it in court versus forcing it in arbitration, could be a very interesting case because, again, this guy, Jason Jones, has complained in the past. In fact, he wrote a really good article about both Amway and Herbalife in the past few years. They both settled out of court. In fact, one of the lead law firms in those cases at one point was on Amway's side, but then it was the other way around. He was against Amway, but then a later case with Herbalife, he actually swapped sides, and now he was defending Herbalife. So, you know, these guys hop around from side to side. You know, they just take the higher bidder probably. But anyway, he's very anti-settlement. Now, I don't think he's in total control of the lawsuit, so, you know, it's not going to probably be his call exclusively, but at least he's a voice in there going, we don't want to settle. We want this thing to go to court. We want to go to trial. You know, we want to get the facts on the table. And like we've talked about in the past, I'm totally in favor of that. So we'll just have to see what happens with that hearing. And, you know, the judge will probably take 2 or 3 months minimum to make a decision. So it's not like, you know, tune in on August 23rd for the answer. But anyway, it is percolating along. This is a little bit off topic, Peter, but I wanted to mention it. Again, I was just tripping through the internet, and there's this minister out there, very well known. If you're, you know, into the Christian books and that kind of thing, mega churches, that whole genre of Christian religion, there's a guy that's run this Willow Creek church for, I think, over 40 years. His name is Bill Hybels. It's Hybels, Bill Hybels. A very famous guy in those circles, written a lot of books, a lot of speeches, very highly thought of. Well, apparently, you know, he's not as highly thought of anymore because back in April, I didn't see the story until today, back in April he quit because it's been kind of, you know, rumbling under the surface for like 3 or 4 years that he's been, let's say, not behaving himself in front of the women. And they started to talk. Now that we're in the Me Too environment, all these people are being exposed, like the CBS CEO a week or two ago. Now it's Bill Hybels' turn. And what's interesting about this to me isn't so much that he's this big pastor. I mean, we're all human. We all make mistakes. But, of course, he really screwed up with this one. But what really caught me on this one is, and let me just read you one short paragraph from a Chicago Tribune article, and let me kind of set this up a little bit. This is a church that has a set of elders. You know, this is people that are not ministers. They're just lay people that form a governing committee, if you will, of a church. So they kind of lead the church along with the ministers. That's what the role of the elders is typically in a church. So let me just read this, and I'm going to quote a guy. There is no question that Bill, this is Bill Hybels, had a significant impact on this ministry. But the summit has never been about one person. The summit is I think it's an annual conference that they do. And then it says, wrote DeVries and the board chairman, Dick DeVos. Now, we've talked about Amway and DeVos a lot on this show because it's my favorite topic. But Dick is the son of Rich DeVos, one of the two co-founders of Amway. And Dick was the board chairman, the elder board chairman. Now, Dick DeVos is the husband of Betsy DeVos, U.S. Secretary of Education in the Trump administration. So here we've got everything all rolled together. And when I say he used to be the board chairman, there's and this is just in the last 3 days, I think. There was a story from August 8th, I think it was, where the entire I think it's the entire ministry and the entire board of elders has quit. They decided this thing needs a clean start. And we're talking, I think, on the order of 25 or 30,000 members in this church. This is it's in the top 10 mega churches in the United States. It's huge. This is big news. And what really caught my eye was this. There was a guy talking about this later on in the article, and I'm kind of here we are. I was kind of struggling to scroll down to it. This other guy that was being quoted, he's another minister, but his quote is, Willow Creek is too big to have a mom and pop mentality. Because what was happening here was initially the elders didn't believe these women that were coming forward. They said, no, you're making this up, because Bill Hybels, you know, this highly thought of guy, was denying everything. He said it never happened. They don't have any evidence, blah, 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 you know, the typical thing. And I'm not saying that everybody's accused is automatically guilty, but that's typically what happens when you know, you are guilty, is you say, oh, you don't have any evidence. Well, of course you don't. He was careful not to produce any evidence. But what struck me was when he said, this other minister said, Willow Creek is too big to have a mom-and-pop mentality. But that's really kind of the same thing that Amway does. They try to sweep things under the rug and keep it quiet. They don't talk about the tool scam, even though they fully know about it. They just kind of push things off the side and try to ignore them. And this blew up in their face. I mean, the internet is here now. You cannot keep people quiet. And so all you Facebooks and all you other people, stop censoring people. I'll just roll it back to the beginning of the show. Just knock it off. Let people have their say. Now, if somebody comes forward with a false charge, I say throw the book at them, because that's the opposite of this problem. You know, if people start thinking they can take advantage of others by putting out false charges, that's just as big of a problem. So if you come forward, you better be telling the truth. That's my message. And Peter, I'll just stop right there, because I just found this to be interesting from this past week. And again, it's not directly connected to Amway or even MLM, but in some ways it really is. You know, the whole idea of let's just kind of sweep it under the rug and nobody will find out type of thing. It just didn't work out. So back to you.
Great information. Great information. So thanks, Scott, for, as usual, for all the great things that you do. For those people that are listening in, we do this radio show at 8:30 p.m. Eastern time on a Saturday night. If you go to buildingfortressradio.com/live, you can listen to it live at that time. If you want to dial in, you can dial in the 347-237-4097 number. Again, 347-237-4097. That's the same number on all of our radio shows. So when you dial in, if there's a live radio show at that time, it'll play on your, you know, on your telephone. And Scott, thanks for listening here. Thanks for the research you do. Thanks for sharing some of this information back and forth. And I am positive we're going to have plenty of new information to be able to talk about next week on Building Fortunes Radio. So thanks, everybody, for being here. We'll catch you next time. Thanks, everyone.
You've been listening to Building Fortunes Radio on buildingfortunesradio.com. Thanks for listening. Be sure to check us out every Friday at 5 p.m. Eastern Time for the designated Building Fortunes Radio segment with Peter Mingle. Be sure to check out the buildingfortunesradio.com website for our featured segments. It's been our privilege to have you listen in. At Building Fortunes Radio, we wish you the success you deserve and are willing to work for. So spread the word, tell a friend, join our newsletter, and go make a difference in your world.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.